We are indeed on holy ground today as we worship the Lord our God and as we give thanks to God for the liberty that we have as citizens of this great nation. Let us turn to the Word and to what God says to us today from the Holy Word. I want to begin by looking in the Psalms. The Psalm we read today from Psalm 25, specifically the following words. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. Lead me in your truth. For you are the God of my salvation. We ask in these Psalms for God's truth to lead us, to teach us, to guide us, to provide and to lead us down a path, a way of life, an experience of divine presence. We ask God to lead us in His truth. And therefore we ask today, as Pilate asked Jesus 2,000 years ago, what is truth? What is truth? And how are we to walk the way of the cross? Today we are going to see that the truth, the very presence of God with us, goes to the cross for us. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. These things we pray in Jesus' holy and gracious name. Amen. Found it interesting to note as I was looking on the calendar and looking in my diary from years and years gone by that this past week was actually the 13th anniversary of my period of time, the ending of my period of time as a novitiate in an Anglican monastery. I've mentioned this here before a couple of times, that I went through a period of time of discernment when I was in graduate school at Duke University trying to determine whether or not I wanted to continue in the preparation in the candidacy for ordained ministry. And during the year prior to my ordination as a deacon, I took some time and I entered into the monastic life of the Society of St. John the Evangelist in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Went there, stayed, lived, became a novitiate in their community, took on the habit, took on the practice of life, the prayers, the reading of scriptures, the meditation time, the labor in the gardens, the labor in the publishing house. I took on the life of all the monks, and for a period of months, half a year, I experienced what it meant to be a cloistered monk, trying to determine whether or not I wanted to enter the ministry at all, and if I did, where I was called to enter ministry. Now, our district superintendent happens to be here today. Mike, wave your hand or whatever, yeah, right over there. Not a secret to the Board of Ordained Ministry at that time, not a secret that I was struggling and debating which church I was called to enter the ministry within. Not a secret, even to this day, that there are times when I, like most ministers, say, I think I made a mistake. Isn't that right, Mike? There are times you go, I think I was crazy to enter the ministry. I think sometimes I made a mistake. And then God breaks through whatever doldrums or gloom have caused me to say that, was a ray of sunshine, a way of divine presence, a ray of hope and joy in knowing that I'm exactly where God wants me to be, doing exactly what God wants me to do, with the exact vision and understanding of what God has for me to come. Even though there's still some questions, I know I'm where I need to be. And that's true here today, and that became true and clear to me that I truly needed to be moving on into ministry in the United Methodist Church while in the middle of going through the novitiate for monastic community life. I remember going to my spiritual director and saying to him, I need to find out what the truth is for me in what God has called for me to do and be. And I remember this old wise monk leaning back in his chair and lacing his fingers over his little stomach and looking at me over the top of his glasses and saying, in other words, you're asking Pilate's question, what is truth? Yes, I was. It's a question that each of us asks as we prepare to take the walk on the way to the cross. Now, I've been asked by quite a few people, what in the world are these small banners that hang across the back of the sanctuary? If you haven't seen them, crane your neck around and take a look. There's some of them up there, and there are two up here. In fact, the first two are up here. These were made by the love and artistry of our own Dina Harper. Dina, are you in here today? She's in the kitchen. Doing her other artwork, which is food. Delights for the mind and the stomach, yes indeed. We have here two banners. The first two banners from a series of images that have been in the church and used in the church for over 1,000 years. Called the Way or the Stations of the Cross. These are based in part on Scripture and in part upon tradition, especially the way in which we depict certain of the images are highly traditional. The first two come straight out of our readings for today from John's Gospel. Jesus, if you'd put it up there as well at this time. Yeah, there it is. Jesus is condemned before Pilate. Jesus is condemned. Pilate asked Jesus a very simple question. What is truth? I'm not a Jew, am I? He asked. What do I have to do with the judgments of your people? What do I have to do with the expectation of your people for the Messiah? What do I have to do with expecting Christ? I have no interest and no desire in following after that way. And yet I understand that it is said about you that you claim to be a king. And Jesus' answer in John's Gospel needs to be heard. He said, My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. So Pilate asked him, Are you a king? And Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. So Jesus' condemnation before Pilate raises the question in us, do we hear the voice of truth? Do we hear the voice of truth calling us to the path, to the way of the cross, to the way of life which expresses the love of God for all the world, just as the trip to the cross expressed the love of God for all the world, in that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stretched out His arms on the hard wood of the cross and died for you and me in expressing His love for the world. Will we too follow the condemnation that the world gives, the condemnation that we deserve, in fact, for our sins, and take up our cross as the second banner depicts, if you could show that one. Take up our cross and go with Jesus. The second banner, the second station, the second point on the way of the cross is recognizing that truth God's truth revealed, God's truth made manifest in flesh, God's truth here amongst us in Jesus Christ, God's truth who proclaimed it by living and breathing and teaching, and now in what he's getting ready to do in going to the cross, God's truth. I looked up truth in the dictionary. I was amazed. Sometimes I get frustrated at dictionaries. They don't always explain everything. The dictionary definition it gave for truth was a judgment, proposition, or body of true statements. Don't you love it when the dictionary defines a word with that word? It does you no good. It also said, however, a little bit further down, the state of being the case or a fact. In other words, truth is that which is. And Jesus is the manifestation of the God who is. Jesus is the incarnate person of God in our midst. Jesus is the one who is. He is truth, total and complete. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so truth is condemned for our sins. And then truth takes up the cross that we are called to bear and heads to Golgotha. My friends, the first two steps on the way to the cross is to recognize that the condemnation that Jesus bore, we should bear. And the journey that Jesus begins to take by taking up his cross is the journey that we should have taken by taking up our cross of sin. It's as simple as that. The journey begins with the recognition that Jesus was condemned for being our truth. It continues by recognizing that Jesus then takes up the burden, the weight of our sins, and takes it up Golgotha to die in our place. As we enter this season of Lent, as we begin this way, this journey, this pathway to the cross, we need to begin by recognizing the truth of our faith. That our entire eternity is placed in this man, Jesus. Who being truth, who being God, accepted the condemnation that we deserve and picked up the cross that we should bear. And died for us. As we begin this series of 40 days of preparation, as we begin this period of time of making ourselves ready to see our culpability in his death for our sins, to see our culpability in his death for the sins of the whole world, to see our culpability, to see ourselves taking the nails and driving them into his flesh, in preparing to see our role in his death, we need to begin by recognizing that this Jesus is truth. This Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. As we move through this season, I encourage you to spend some time on Sundays and during the week. This building is open Monday through Thursday. Come up here during the day if you need to. Come up in the evening during our evening class times. I invite you to come up and to go back to the back and to take a look at the way of the cross, the stations of the cross that we have hanging across the back of our sanctuary. To see and to understand that this way is the way that Jesus walked for you and me, and that we are called to someday walk it too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.